You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you don't know, you should know that you can get the free app. It is a 24-hour free Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and all you got to do is go download the app, or you can listen online at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio, and you can get all of our shows on demand if you want to do it there, or you can find them over on iTunes. Just search In This League. When you do it, you'll find the radio show version, and you will find every other show that we do. Also, you know, I haven't looked at this yet. But, well, I probably wouldn't because we don't have any In This League on it. I was going to say, I wonder what happens when you put In This League in on Amazon. And it's not probably going to show our book.
Oh, no.
But if you type in Fantasy Baseball, you'll find it. Or 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, you can go get it. Your drafts this weekend, your drafts tomorrow, your draft tonight. Maybe it's next week. Maybe you have more time. You can go right now. You can pick up for only $7 on Amazon our book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, or at inthisleague.com, you can get the PDF for the same price, only $7. We've got our top 300 that are listed on there, and we've got 99 debates, which we do write-ups on. It has the stats of all the players, and they're judged by industry professionals, 15 to 16 different people from probably some of your favorite sites, probably people that you've read your entire fantasy, you know, scope of being into these type of people, podcasts you've listened to. They're all on there, so go check it out. We would deeply appreciate it. You're supporting In This League when you do it, and we got lots of other ways that you can get involved of our universe if you want. patreon.com/ITL Army or inthisleague.com is where you find all the stuff and all the things.
The first thing to pop up when you type In This League on Amazon, the Welsh, is 99 Fantasy Player Debates.
Is it really?
It is. And the next thing is a book by Pam Postman that says, "You've got to have balls to make it in this league, my life as an umpire."
I'm seeing it. Okay, here's the next one. It's a book called The One and Only Ivan by Catherine Applegate and Patricia Costello. But they got a lot of reviews. Wow, that's a...
Costello.
Their book is a... Here's a bad thing. Their book is a dollar cheaper than ours, and it's a paperback. But it's about a monkey and an elephant. Oh, the fourth one, Hothead, Cal Ripken Jr.'s All-Stars.
I don't understand this. Double Down, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I don't like that. Why does that come up under In This League?
I don't know. I am so excited that if you type in This League that we come up.
Yeah. Well, it's In This League presents 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates.
That is really cool. And we got some great reviews on here, too. They just keep growing.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So go check it out. We would love you a long time. And if you do, tweet at us. If you like the book, I love seeing the tweets. We love talking about it. And we're actually on the ITL Army. We do secret shows that are just for our insiders if you want to check in. And believe me, when you support us, we give you a lot of benefits. And our second level of support, we give you ranks and we give you different articles and live streams. And we do secret shows. And one of those shows is actually going to be a podcast about the book, about the process of writing it, some of the turmoil that hit with it. And we're going to actually just like go through some of the debates we were really shocked about and maybe talk about a few others out there. So you want to get some extra content on there, it will be a part of the Army. So there you go. There you go. We are on Amazon. I feel very special that you can type in This League. Here's the big barometer. Scott Bogman.
Oh, no.
Yep. You show up. Let's see if I show up. That's a big one. Because what used to show up when you typed in Bogman on Amazon is number two here. Bogman of Loch Ness, Chapter 13, Fantasy Golf Safari of 1939.
Hey,
whatever.
Can I ask you a favor? Can I borrow $350?
Bogman. There's a book called Bogman. Look below if you see the results.
Did
result.
That go right past you, my joke?
It did. I
need about $350. You don't remember the South Park? The Loch Ness Monster. It was a goddamn Loch Ness Monster again, needing that $350.
No, I don't. With South Park.
Oh, come on.
But for 99 cents, you can get Bogman by R.I. Olufsen. It's just a book. It's called Bogman. Let's see what happens when you type in Chris Welsh, and then we'll move on to important things. Ooh, the book. It comes up. Number two, though, is Crazy Love, Overwhelmed by a Relentless God. And apparently that's Chris Welsh. And it's not by a Chris Welsh author. at all.
Wow. I see Bogman. Then I see the Bogman's Pipe. So that must be a very short book.
Just like
yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's the joke.
Don't
Thanks.
Need to finish it.
Ballads of a Bogman.
Okay.
That comes after that.
So
and there's only one left in stock. I feel like I need to buy that.
You probably should. You should do the thing that I do where anyone that can acquire cards of like the 1970s pitcher Chris Welsh, send them to me. Let me see. What am I being accurate? No, 80s. 81 through 85. He played 3 years with the Padres, one with the Expos and one with the Rangers. He was a pitcher. Let's see. Oh, 1982 Bogman. He had 139 innings. How many strikeouts? Oh, my God. This is no way this is real. How many strikeouts do you think Chris Welsh had in 1982?
139 innings?
Yeah.
85?
48.
Oh, my God.
How many walks did he have?
Wait a minute. Is he's a hitter or a pitcher?
He's a pitcher. Okay. A lefty.
How many walks? 45.
63.
Wow, more walks than strikeouts.
Not very good. He wasn't
so
very good.
Worst, he's the Ubaldo Jimenez of the 80s.
But I want people to send me those cards, so I'll autograph them and send them to people. So you should buy the book, and then you can do that.
The way of life of in an Irish valley is recalled in these bewitching verses.
Of Bogman?
Yeah, of Ballads of a Bogman.
Ballads of a Bogman. I mean, that should be a show. Ballads of a Bogman. This is incredible. How much fun have we had just like being totally
looking through Amazon and being stupid?
Yeah. Oh, what is this? Something that just says Chris Welsh. It's Teacher Creature by Chris Welsh is a free Kindle book. I don't even know what that's about, and I don't want to know. Hamlet also shows up. All right. So fantasy baseball drafts, that'll get you set. Let's talk about some actual baseball on Friday. Well, maybe I should take a couple days step back here. Tuesday of last week, I went out to see the Diamondbacks versus the Angels because one Mr. Shohei Ohtani was DHing. And luckily that game was just littered with great players. Mike Trout played, Paul Goldschmidt, Zach Godley was pitching again. And, you know, that's kind of the divisive thing. I think a lot of people have gone under the assumption that, like, this is a Yu Darvish type of pitcher, but where is the hitting going to go? And I've been, you would categorize that I've been in defense of Shohei Ohtani and his value as a hitter right. a little bit more than most people.
You've been like that that person on YouTube who's like, leave Britney alone.
Leave Britney
like,
alone.
Leave Shohei alone.
Yeah, 100%.
That's you.
Kind of want to come off of that a little bit. one game should not be everything. But I will tell you, it was not a good experience watching him try to hit off of Zach Godley. He had two at-bats against Godley, and he had one at-bat against, if you remember, Antonio Bastardo?
Yeah.
Former Phillies. He's with the Diamondbacks. None of the at-bats were great. He walked against Bastardo, which was his third at-bat. That's fine. He was so behind on every pitch thrown to him by Zach Godley. Zach Godley started, I believe, off with a fastball that nothing on. Then came back fastball, and it was one of the latest swings I've ever seen. And then he would just prototypically come off on the off-speed stuff. His two at-bats against Godley were atrocious, so much so that I put all his at-bats together on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/inthisleague, so you could see the bad hacks. I think you watched it, Bogman, and I mean, his offensive results have not really been there. I'm really concerned with his ability to...
hit in the big leagues?
Yeah, to be able to recognize anything but a fastball, anything but like a mid-90s or, you know, high 80s fastball that he had been seeing, because I don't think he can, his pitch recognition, it seems almost non-existent.
Yeah, that's it's a difficult thing to come by, and he's only really had one full year of experience as a hitter in Japan, right? So one full year, which he hit amazingly. Last year he had the ankle injury, so I don't know how many at-bats he had. I think maybe it wasn't a full year, but I think it was close to 300 at-bats last
year. Well, even last year, he was hitting more than he was pitching.
Right. Well, because of the ankle injury.
Yeah.
I think that's why he was
100%.
He was hitting instead of pitching. So just not a lot of experience with the bat, and it's tough to come over even if you have the skill, and he has giant power. He can run really fast.
I mean, we saw the BP. The BP. I mean, when he knows it's just fastball coming in at, you know, whatever they're throwing, you know, 65 or 70, like, you know it. he's destroying the ball. I mean, he's got the athletic ability. The guy is he's agile physically. You know, he's about on par of where you would think he is.
What do you say his blood type is?
I don't know any of that.
Oh.
But, I mean, you know, I took better hacks when I had BP at Salt River Fields than God. He was
Why
taking.
Why does it always have to go back to you?
I'm just saying. Like, I actually hit balls farther than he did. Now, I did have a machine.
And
I wasn't going against Godley.
You can see the Walsh's face if you go to his Twitter right now.
I do. Yeah, that's the one. Remember we talked about? I said I have to crop out the real lower half of the disaster that is my body. And I successfully did that. And that is me mid, I think that was the one that I almost, I hit near the wall.
What filter do you have on that thing?
I don't know. Just,
you have the skinning filter on it?
No, I did. I don't even know how to do that, but I did put one of
you
the.
You told me how to, you showed me how to do that.
That's in like an iPhone. Yeah, they have like but it looks weird when you do that. No, I didn't do any of that. I put like, you know, like a sepia or something.
Okay.
Like black and white,
know.
Maybe?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Something on like Instagram. There's like a filter that you can do there. But the at-bats weren't great. You don't want to read everything into it. Pitch recognition, not so great. So then he's throwing a B game on Friday at Tempe Diablo. The Angels were going out to play the Cubs. And I've never seen a B game like this because I've gone to, usually these B games, like I went to one last year and I caught Cole Hamels. They're like 15 people. All kind of hanging out. It's on a backfield. This was in
Tempe. People that don't want to pay for a game, right?
Well, it was like people being there beforehand. Like this is a little bit earlier one. People getting autographs and stuff. People are there. This one, it's in the stadium at noon. They open up the gates. There were probably 300 people there.
Man.
It was crazy. I mean, the stadium wasn't full or anything like that, but there were at least 50 Japanese reporters. There were other photographers, and there were tons of fans. I mean, maybe it was closer to 200 that were there to see Shohei Ohtani pitch. I got to see it on the YouTube channel. I'm going to put his first two innings of pitching together, and it's not what I wanted to see. He was atrocious. His fastball was popping. I mean, there wasn't a radar, but I'm assuming he was probably hitting 99 to 100, the sound that his fastball makes. He definitely moved it around. You saw a couple. He definitely pulled off a couple of those pitches that made everyone go, oh, that type of stuff. But
the pitching is there.
It is there, but his command and just his demeanor was really off. I don't know what it was. They were playing like the Tijuana Hogos or something. Like
Tijuana Donkey Shows.
Yeah. I'll tell you this about them. They had as their bat boy, how do I say this right? A tiny person. A little person. They had a little person. Like a really little person. Not like Bogman little person. Like a little person.
I'm just surprised that you don't actually put me into that category.
No. This was like, who's the guy in Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage.
Like Peter Dinklage as their bat person. So it was kind of a show. Ohtani strikes out the first guy, and then he gives up a homer. He hits a guy in the shoulder. He ends up striking out two, gets out of it. The next inning, he gives up two more runs. I don't think he had a strikeout. He was kind of all over the place. The third inning, and then after the second inning, he goes and runs under the dugout. I don't know where the hell he went. Then he comes back out. He beans another guy in the back. He walked a guy. He gave up multiple hits. I had to leave.
You know what it sounds like to me? You said he's all over the place, and he ran into the dugout. He probably went to the bathroom. Maybe he's getting adjusted to some local food.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he went to Chipotle.
Could have been. I mean, Chipotle never F's with me. So
that was with me.
But maybe that was it. Maybe
Filberto's?
Maybe he had some greasy In-N-Out that he's not used to.
Actually, you want to know what's right next to Tempe Diablo Stadium? Whataburger.
Oh, no. It couldn't be Whataburger.
I'll bet you he got a number two with cheese.
Oh, no.
I'll bet you that's what he did.
I bet that was. I wonder if they asked him if he's a rewards member.
They would have if they. That's what I always hear from you. But it wasn't great. He gave up like five. I had to leave on the last out. I'm going to put it all up there. But you hearing me say that, how does that affect you? I mean, guys have that. Kopech just had this the other day. He gave up five and whatnot, and things get ahead of you. Usually, you don't give too much into any of that. But is there a little concern that like the Tijuana Hogos or whoever the hell they are? That came in, they had their own like bus. They literally came from Tijuana.
Tijuana Hodors.
Yeah, whatever it was. Hodor. That's might have been it. No one's ever heard of any of these players, and they teed off on him.
Yeah, sure. I think a little bit of it just doesn't change my opinion too much of him overall, because I think that Shohei Ohtani is going through so much right now, you know, just in his personal life too, sure. You know, getting adjusted to American culture and getting used to his teammates and all of this stuff, you know, it's a huge adjustment. So for him to have an off day, I'm not going to be too concerned about, or even an off week.
I agree.
But I think this is what you have to worry about with Shohei Ohtani going into the season. He's going to have a lot of ups and downs in his rookie season. I don't think he's going to be a guy to come in and put up Cy Young numbers, especially with the Angels limiting his innings and going to a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it. It's not just for Ohtani. It makes sense for the Angels with all the injury-prone players, pitchers that they have. So, but it's you know, he's going to have his ups and his downs, and I think you're already seeing it.
Yeah, there's just something about that team. Like, those are the type of players from Tijuana are the type of players that, like...
Easy.
Well, I'm just saying that they shouldn't... Like, they should have never seen a player like this. They should have never seen off-speed pitches come in like this. And some might say, oh, he was just working on something. He wasn't. He was trying to, like...
Well, baseball is baseball, though. There's plenty of college teams that, you know, get to a pitcher on an off day. If you're around the plate too much, hitters are going to hit you.
That's a good point.
That's all there is to it.
It just, my week of seeing Shohei Ohtani just opened my eyes a little bit more to the risk factor, because sometimes we all get really stuck in it. I've been a proponent of Shohei Ohtani, but I have zero shares of him in this draft season because of where he's been going. So when we come back from break, let's finish up that conversation, talk about where he's going, and then we're going to be answering questions from our ITL ball bag. You guys have had questions, trades, whatever the hell it is, we're going to cover it. So don't go anywhere. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, this is Endless League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Man, I tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com.eu, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back to In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Find the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast over on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you want to go. You can get that. We do two shows a week throughout the rest of the season for your draft prep or for your in-season with some of the best guests in the industry. Always our witty humor. Oh, and my very heady comments, Bogman. Very heady.
Heady is going to, it's not going to be just this podcast, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to be just here for the radio show. We'll have a shirt. I'm a heady guy. I'm very heady. A lot of insinuation.
Yeah, don't say deep, say heady.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Deep might have been better. So just last thing here, following up on Shohei Ohtani. I get two different, you know, eyes on him. One of the few players that you have to go see twice because you need to see both ends of what he does. You need to see him hit. You need to see him pitch. Phrasing. Not a great week for him. Maybe the rigors of things, you know, maybe it was just a bad week in general. Maybe it's spring training catching up. I think this is like week two or three, plus some of the stuff that they had before. Socha was there, which I got to meet Socha beforehand. It was interesting. He only stayed for the first inning. They watched him give up a homer, hit a guy, and strike out two. And then it literally, as the inning ended, he promptly got up and left, and they got out. And I don't know if I kind of think he might have been trying to jam to Mesa to manage the Cubs game, what they were doing. But it raised a little bit of an eyebrow to me. And as I mentioned before, I have no shares of Shohei Ohtani, even though I've been a fan of him, because he goes in the 60s in every draft we do.
Especially that guy Dusty in all of our drafts.
Well, Dusty is like crazy about him, takes him in the 50s or 60s. We did a roto. We've got a bunch of leagues going on. We've got a 16-man roto, a 16-man points, a 16 AL, and a 16 NL. And the Roto, I think, was the one he lasted the longest in. And he lasted to like the 70s. But he's been going around 70 or 80. And I find it really hard to commit the price at this point, even though my ranks have kind of signified like I like it. But wait, but it's all about roster construction. How
stock down on Ohtani overall right now, right?
It's because a little bit
bad hitting and the bad showing against the Tijuana Hodors.
The Hodors. Yeah, I mean, I'm really hesitant to like put heavy weight into it because his stuff is there. I saw his stuff. I saw the fastball. I saw some of the off speed, and it's like, Jesus. But he had just such a really horrible feel for it. He really got frustrated playing against, I mean, the Tijuana Hodors. They shouldn't be able to beat like double A teams.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this.
The bat guy was a little bat
guy.
Yeah,
okay, well, we get it. Shohei Ohtani, his stock is going down. What about who's going down more, Ohtani or Greinke?
Oh, because that's a great one.
Greinke's been performing, but the velocity went way down.
Way down.
In the last two starts, his first start, because that was a big concern last season coming into the year. Everybody panicked. It was an everybody panic moment for sure.
Yeah.
When his velocity was down the whole spring, and then coming into the season, he was fine.
Well, but and
this year, he was good with his first start. Next two starts, velocity down again.
They're saying it's down 84 to 86. And a lot of people assume he was messing with, because some might not know, the Athletic expanded out to the Arizona front. So there's an Arizona Athletic branch. And Zach Buchanan, who is writing for the Athletic, Greinke said that he thinks maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. And some think, you know, because Greinke has messed with the media, that might have been what that was. But he just don't like seeing any of that. Like, he had a major plus with the humidor, but the velocity is so down for him. And you hear those type of things, that kind of sucks, but I'm still taking Greinke. I think he's pairing himself out. He's one of those, speaking of Hetty, he's one of those guys that's in his head so much that I think, like he just knows. He knows what he needs to do. He knows more than anything. He doesn't need to give it his all. I think he wants to sit in those mid-80s to get the results, and he's going to ramp it up when season comes.
Yeah, I think you're right. So,
are you with me?
I'm with you. I'm more concerned about Ohtani than Greinke going into the season, correct?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, based on ADP. I mean, we don't have like a...
Well, Granky's a higher ADP still.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Ohtani's not that far off. Like, where is Greinke in the 40s?
You know, who do you think would hit better given 300 at bats, Greinke or Ohtani?
I would go Ohtani.
Greinke's won a Silver Slugger.
No, you're right. I mean, Greinke's pretty impressive. I think what I saw with Ohtani was...
Has he? Did I just make that up? I feel like he has.
I feel like he has too. But Ohtani had a back-to-back where he had Godley on Tuesday, and then he had Kershaw on Wednesday. And there was that whole thing where Kershaw was all surly about it, like, ooh, you know, that's what he gets. He didn't sign with the Dodgers, and they're all pissy about it. He's never seen pitching like this. Yeah, I mean, Godley has got some stuff. I mean, it's not incredible stuff, but it's stuff that he'd never seen. And Kershaw, I mean, that might be one of the best pitchers of our lifetime. So, you know, I mean, that's quite a wake-up call. And I think it's the things you need to see to adjust. But I don't know. I guess I just figure if you got a pitcher that's going to be a hitter, or any hitter in general, you'd think you'd go, like, I don't know, pull Garrett Richards aside. Maybe go get a guy like John Smoltz to work with you, or Greg Maddux, and, like, let them throw crazy stuff at you. You should be trying to see professional pitching. He just looks so lost. I was like, man, I wonder how much they're going to be able to keep him as the DH when you have the potential of Luis Valbuena, you know, playing first, and you're keeping Pujols out of the lineup. Or it's literally going
to ask the DH sometime, or play the field sometimes, because the lack of the extra spot in the bullpen. So
yeah,
they take, because they're going with the 6-man rotation, they take a hitter away. So he's going to have to step up and pinch hit at least a couple times. So
yeah, I mean, he's going to hit. It'll probably be there. Maybe it's a little bit more workup. All it did is it confirmed for me a little bit more that I just can't take him inside like the 60 range. Get into the 70s, I'm definitely game. He can't be more than a SP2. He really can't. And I don't like to take pitchers high, so that's why it becomes really difficult for me at the end of the day. And you got to make sure you're not playing on Yahoo, where he's two stupid players. Play on fan tracks or something like that.
All right.
More fantasy baseball. Guys have been sending in questions. If you ever have questions for us, send it in ballbag@inthisleague.com. That's where you can send in whether it's should I do this, should I do that, should I trade this guy. What do you guys think? I hear we have a lot of them. Is that true?
Yeah, we have a bunch. You want to start with some?
Let's go. Here comes the ITL ball bag.
ITL.
I seem to be dropping all your mail.
Oh! I guess I'm a clumsy mailman.
Think I got it in the vault.
You're a bad mailman.
Yes, that's right. We don't call it the mailbag here. We call it the ITL ball bag. You guys can hit us up, ballbag@inthisleague.com. Any questions whatsoever, just maybe title the sport, because Bogman and I, we're very versatile, and we do many, many sports. And we'll talk about you anything. We got a wrestling podcast on our network. We don't talk wrestling, but we could talk wrestling if you want. I got an eFed story for you if you want to check out that. We are cool to talk about anything, whether it's heady stuff, whether it's the Bogman book, or you want to talk about Infinity Wars, you can do that, but just put a subject line, ballbagginthisleague.com. What do we got?
First one up, auction drafts are great, but my prep is almost worthless. There are almost too many different variables, roster size, keeper values, using OBP and quality starts instead of average and wins, to use any resource to compare my values against, so I have no idea if my values are even realistic or accurate. It's bit me in the past, and I know there's must be a much better way to draft. What methods or resources do you use in assigning draft values for auctions? Any assistance would be much appreciated. David W.
That's a great question. And it's funny, a lot of the smart guys, you know, in their projections, the heady guys base the projections out on a money basis. So you're going to see guys like Rob Silver, Vlad Sedler, kind of talk in a money perspective. They'll be like, oh yeah, that production is worth this amount of money. I would break it down easy. I mean, you're not wrong that auctions are fun, but yet also the auction strategy in general,
impossible to predict.
It truly is, because you just can't predict. I can't tell you the amount of times I've gone in, and what I like to do first off is I will take a baseline of the draft, find that wherever you're drafting, if it's Fantrax or Yahoo or ESPN or CBS, find what their the assigned values, because sites will have assigned values. Find that, and then you start working off your ranks and adjusting values. And something I like to do is I will like take a worksheet. I might even do it on paper, and I will start assigning values to the potential players that I want in positions. And as I go through the draft, I might minus, oh, hey, you know, I was going to assign $35 to third base, but I just got my third baseman for 30. So that's plus five that I can add somewhere else. I'll do something like that. But at the end of the day, I will take the baseline I'm ranking off of, or that I'm drafting off of. And then I'm going to adjust the ranks based, or I'm going to adjust the prices based on my own ranks. And then if you want, go counter it off of some smart people and check out what some other people are talking about on prices.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things here with an auction that you can do to make it better. I mean, one of the things is don't be the last guy at a position, because the last good player at a position will go for way more than he's worth, because, you know, if more than two teams don't have that position, if, you know, whoever is the last good first baseman left, right? Maybe Justin Smoke is the last in a tier. He's going to go for way too much. And that includes top players also that aren't positionally valued, but they're just like you, they're viewed as the top players. Whoever that last top player is to be bid on.
I was just about to say to counter to you, you want to get a deal, take the first guy on the first bid. That guy usually is one of the better prices, promise you.
If it's Trout, though.
No, it's true. I mean, he might.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's not that guy isn't a value because the best player is thrown out immediately.
But, dude, how many times?
Yeah, I mean, someone will throw out, you know, Giancarlo Stanton with the first pick, and you get him for, you know, $58. And then in the next thing, Charlie Blackmon will go for 71 because he's the last guy.
Yeah, that happens so much.
First round player.
But that's to your point.
So you save $13 by getting a first round player because you bid early.
Yeah.
Now that's not always the case, especially when you're playing with veteran auction people. But the hardest part about auction and the hardest thing to do is the best resource you can use is mocks. Is to mock but they take so long. Yeah. So it's
we've got
tough.
One on the ITIL Army that Bogman put together,
it's
but I mean,
4 hours.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 4 hour mock. It's fun. It's fun to do, but they take up so much time. Maybe, do some mocks or get in some mocks.
Get in a mock?
Yeah. Get in a mock.
Maybe
mock
do some
up,
mocking.
Mock, yeah.
Okay.
And do that as much as you possibly can. And other than that, don't get in the run and try different strategies in your mock auctions to see which one you like the best. Do studs and scrubs, then save some money and buy those middling players and see if your team looks just way better that way. Spend at different positions, maybe try to get in 3 to 4 mock auctions,
but make sure that you mock.
Yeah. Mock. Mainly mock.
Okay.
But, yeah. So try to do 4 of those and then see which strategy you enjoy the best or you work the best for you.
Yeah. All right.
Mock. Next one we have here says the Welsh and Bogman.
Hi.
Thank you very much for doing all you're doing to keep it real at ITL. Your attitude and delivery truly make ITL a podcast completely different from other podcasts and a ton of fun.
Thank you, buddy.
Each week I listen to several of your podcasts and they always make my day. You both rock. I have a fantasy baseball keeper question that I hope gets chosen as you reach pick this question while fondling your ball bag.
Ah.
I play in a 12-team head-to-head mixed points keeper league. So 12 head-to-head mixed points. Each year we get to keep up to 5 keepers without restrictions. Please let me know which of the following 5 players you choose to keep my championship squad from last season. So I went through this a little bit earlier, and I highlighted 5 guys. And the ones that I highlighted were Trey Turner, Nolan Arenado, Freddie Freeman, Cody Bellinger, and Max Scherzer. So you got the Welsh?
That's no-brainer. Yeah, who are you going to possibly throw in?
So here are the other guys that he has. He has Andrew Benintendi.
You can't.
Starling Marte.
Nope.
Jacob DeGrom. Nola.
Nope.
No, so that's the 5 I'd go with. Turner, yep. Arenado, Freeman, Bellinger, and Scherzer.
Easy.
Yep. Yeah, fairly easy. And that was from our guy, Steve Barnard, ITL Army man.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Brian Rooker, he gets right to the point, the Welsh. Keeper auction roto pick one, $33 Josh Donaldson, $25 Gary Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez. That's easy, right?
It is because it's a keeper and Sanchez is so much younger than Donaldson.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the price is fine. $8 more on Donaldson. Okay. Like, if you wanted to keep Donaldson, if it was a redraft or, if you only keep one guy, I guess. But I just, to me, it's pretty easy. I'd take Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one.
12-team head-to-head 6x6 league with OBP. Each keeper would be my draft pick for each of the first 4 rounds. Have to decide between. Are you ready?
Yeah, and this is a 6x6?
6x6 with OBP.
Okay.
I'm assuming quality starts is the other one, too.
Sure.
So he can keep 4. Donaldson, Hoskins, Bellinger, Freeman. Does Devers kick anybody out of that?
No.
Cool Whit.
No.
Chris Davis. No. Bregman.
Give me the names again.
Donaldson, Hoskins, Bellinger, Freeman.
I mean, I kind of like to keep Bregman, but, in a keeper, there's a justification to maybe take him over Donaldson.
Okay.
But that team also seems like it's kind of built to win now, because Bellinger, you presumably can put in the outfield. Freeman goes to first, Donaldson is at third, and then Hoskins can also go in the outfield, frankly. So that's kind of a win now team.
And Bregman qualifies at short, so let's not forget that.
I might keep Bregman over Donaldson.
Okay, well, it's a consideration. Nola, Carlos Martinez are the other 2.
No.
So thinking I can get Nola Martinez level pitching after the 4th round. All the stud pitchers will be kept by the other teams who had them last season. That is from our dude, Clint Bedard. So I think I would stick with those first 4.
Yeah, I think so too.
Donaldson, Hoskins, Bellinger, Freeman. But if you wanted to go Bregman over Donaldson, that's fine.
All right, we're right up against the break. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. More fantasy baseball player discussion.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams. Yes. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Welcome back. In This League, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, inthisleague.com. That's where you can find links to our book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, for only $7 on Amazon. You can find links to the Patreon Army, the ITL Army, if you want to be with our crew. You can also find stuff about our shirts. We've got some great shirts. The 99 Problems, But My Draft Ain't Won. We've got Pitch Me Outside, and we got the Drunk Baseball logo. All ITL favorites here. Right now, we are answering questions from the ball bag, as we call it, the mailbag episode. And we've just had a bunch of listener questions that have been sent in over the last couple of weeks, so we are getting to answer some of these right here. So let's pick it right back up. What do you got?
Hey, guys. To me, second is shallow, and past the top 3 to 4, there's a sharp decline. An auction 6x6 head-to-head standard plus OBP.
What did he say at the beginning? Hold on. I'm sorry. Second is shallow?
Second base.
Shallow. Okay. Sorry.
Yes. In an auction 6x6 head-to-head standard plus OBP, is saving dollars by drafting a steady rate guy like Joe Panic at the position a worthwhile target? I could save a lot for other high-end players and double up at shortstop to fill my middle infield. Altuve, Ramirez, and Dozier are going to be expensive, and Odor takes down my average in OBP. If I could save $10 to $20 taking Panic, I could apply that toward a player that could hit 35 homer or get 30 stolen bases and carry a better average than Odor. With San Francisco's improved lineup, is he a sleeper? And that is from our guy Kendall, who is a constant ball bag writer inner.
I don't know. I mean, I just like you're honed in on Joe Panic.
You just don't like buying Joe Panic, correct?
Oh, it's just like we're honed in on Joe Panic. Could you do this strategy? Yeah, sure. I like the guy that jumped in my head was like a guy like Josh Harrison. Like that was the guy, if you wanted to go super cheap, that kind of jumped up to me. There's Cesar Hernandez. There's rookies that you could go put some money on, like a Scott Kingery who could get value. Gleyber Torres could end up getting it. I don't know why we're focused on Joe Panic, because I would assume in an auction, I would assume Josh Harrison is going to probably go at the end of the day for the same price that Joe Panic is. I'm probably going to both be a buck.
Starlin Castro, like to me,
Alex Castro way better than Panic.
Second base is not shallow to me. If you don't want to buy an expensive one, that's absolutely fine. But it doesn't have to be Joe Panic. If Joe Panic is your guy, that's fine. But let's not forget, you know, Jason Kipnis is having a great spring.
Yeah, Paul DeJong qualifies at second and short for. Pretty much should be everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he does for Fantrax, so yeah.
He's got it for Yahoo.
Tim Beckham, yeah, he looked at second base one time.
Yeah, he stepped on it.
Look, if this is a strategy you want to do, that's fine. But I will say that sometimes if I don't like a certain position, right? Like, you can even use second base as an example. If I don't like second base, sometimes I'll double up on second base just in case one of my dudes doesn't work out. If you want to double up on shortstop still, that's fine. But sometimes, like, if I get kind of a, you know, a lesser than average starting shortstop, I'll swipe another starting shortstop to see if one of them pans out really well, and then I can take, you know, pick up whoever pops up on the wire and looks better during the season.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, my only problem is if you get so honed in on like the one player. Like, you could do it at the end of the day if that's really what you want, but I just think there are going to be much better players at the exact same price that you could get, so I don't know if I would get all crazy about it. And frankly, if it's an auction, by the way, I might throw them out like in the beginning. And if someone wants to, I mean, that might screw you a little bit if someone is like, well, I want, you know, Starlin Castro for $3. But you might be able to sneak. If Joe Panic is really your guy, Put a buck out.
I would just wait because I don't think Joe Panic is anyone else's guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you called Austin Barnes my guy, and he's clearly not. But Joe Panic is Kendall's guy.
Yeah.
Jake from State Farm, he said last year was the first year of a keeper league. So we started with a full draft. We keep five from last season, and we'll keep 10 after this year. It's a 12-team head-to-head categories OBP instead of average, quality starts instead of wins.
Everyone OBP league. Now.
I won the league last year, no big deal, and I'm looking for a repeat, just like the Astros. I think I knew who I would keep when the season ended, but the more I think about it, the more I'm not 100% sure. Here are the guys I'm considering. So okay. Are you ready to pick five out the Welsh?
Sure.
Goldie, Blackman, J.D. Martinez, Starling Marte, Corey Seager is your initial five. So okay. Here's the guys that can jump in. Hoskins, I'd go Hoskins over
Marte.
Yeah, and Seager. I mean, I would take him over both.
I'm going to kick Hoskins. I'm going to kick Marte
sure,
out right now.
Marte's out, Hoskins, and Dozier.
Boy. I might kick Seager out for Dozier.
Okay, so we got Goldie, Blackman, J.D. Martinez, Hoskins, and Dozier.
And I'm very into winning now, so that's
Kershaw.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ. Who do we have in here?
Kershaw, Scherzer, and Severino are his pitchers. So we have Goldie, Blackman, J.D. Martinez. And then I think Kershaw and Scherzer have to go
Kershaw.
In, right?
Yeah, so you got to kick. Now you got to kick Hoskins and Dozier out.
Right. So it's Goldie, Blackman, J.D., Kershaw, Scherzer.
Done.
Done, right?
Easy done.
And that's – he said his initial thoughts were Goldie, Blackman, Seager, Kershaw, and Scherzer, even though Kershaw is in that Kershaw. Top tier. I'm not saying it different.
You're saying quit Kershaw.
Well, who cares?
Well, it's just it stands out.
The post-World Series run drop-off scares me a bit. Just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on who should be my five keepers. Please make sure whoever reads this email says y'all's. Thanks, as always. And that is Kendall. So, and I said y'all's because, you know, I'm initially from Texas. So, okay. So we got that figured out, right?
Great.
No going back, right?
Yeah, no backsies.
Okay. Hey, guys, glad to have baseball back. Thanks for the help last year to get my third consecutive championship in my Friend League. Mm. My question is for my other 14-team head-to-head categories, auction league, keep two, already keeping Robbie Ray at $5. Here are his options. Are you ready? Keeping two more. Conforto at $8. Sonny Gray at $3. Jameson Taillon at $10. Andrew Benintendi at 21. Love the pod. Love the book. Humble Ryan. I forgot to mention it's a $260 budget. And for the Welsh's curiosity, I live in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Ah, yes. I always love hearing where people are. Wisconsin. That's where my wife's from. Benintendi's are for sure. For
at 21. Sure. That's kind of expensive, but I agree.
I don't care. How much is Ray?
Well, he's keeping Ray at $5.
I just wanted to know. Yeah, Ray, yeah. Benintendi. What are the other three? Conforto at $8.
Conforto at
$10.
It's Sonny Gray at $3.
Ugh.
I'd take Conforto at $8. I'd take the risk.
Maybe. I don't like any of these options. I might take Gray at $3, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'll take Conforto at $8. No, I'll go with Conforto at $8.
You can, you know what, to be honest with you, either way, if you want to take the cheap guy, Sonny Gray at $3, because you're already keeping Benintendi at 21, it's getting kind of expensive, then take Gray. But if you want to take more upside, possibly go with Conforto. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm in a deep 5x5 roto style keeper league with two full rosters, 10 keepers for each A roster is the active roster, with both rosters having two catcher spots.
You said roster like roster. 30 times there, and
mock.
I don't know what you just said.
Mock and roster. Mock roster.
What did you repeat that? I don't know what you just said.
Well, I'm just reading it off, man. I'm in a deep 5x5 roto style keeper league with two full rosters. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
10 keepers for each roster. A roster is the active roster, with both rosters having two catcher spots.
Why is he saying roster so much? Stop saying roster. I'm sick of hearing roster.
I can't
and
decide
mock.
To keep. I can't see decide on who to keep on my B roster.
Oh my god!
List below, I can keep three. Please rank the following from my roster. He didn't say that. He didn't say it. I just made that. Okay, so three out of this group. Are you ready?
Okay.
Austin Barnes, Bradley Zimmer, Brad Peacock, Jacob Faria, Archie Bradley. I also have Giles, so I was thinking Peacock could be a Giles backup. Closers are valued high. Thanks, guys. Go Shy Sox, Sean in Albany, New York. So if you're keeping three of these dudes, it's Zimmer, Jake Faria, and Bradley. Easy, right?
Who are the other guys besides those three?
Barnes and Peacock.
Easy, those guys.
Easy.
Faria,
easy
peasy. Bradley, and Archie.
Roster.
Roster. And Mock.
And Mock. All right, the next one. The little Hummer boy here. Looking for some help with these keepers in my 12-team 6x6 head-to-head categories league. It's average, OPS, RBI runs, homer, stolen base, wins, quality saves, wins, quality starts, saves, ERA, whip, and K per nine. Players increase $5 each year, and we can keep $100 out of our $260 budget. Appreciate the help. Proud member of Bog Nation of Domination.
Boo, boo. We do not like this man at all.
This man.
I don't even know what the question was. What was it?
Well, we have to do math, so this is a problem.
Christ. Of course, this is a Bog Nation member.
Are your shoes off?
Yeah.
Do you have your toes to count? Can you pull up a calculator so I can read this off to you?
Are you being serious? Right,
so, yeah, I'm being serious. Do you have a calculator?
Okay. Can we just not answer? Why would somebody do this to us?
Come on, man. This is Corey. He pays us money. Come on.
Okay.
Little Hummer Boy.
All right. Here we go. I got it.
All right. So Altuve for $49. You got to keep him, right? Because you're coming in under budget.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So that's 50 off the table right now.
49.
He also has George Springer at 29. I tell you what. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut this and paste it in our chat. So that you can see everything that I can see.
Why is this the most complicated question we've ever gotten?
It's not the most complicated. You're just not looking at the sheet. So it's not that complicated. So,
right, so why do I have a calculator?
Because he can only keep $100 out of 260.
Okay. All right. So now that I see it, things are coming back into focus. So 49
Jose
for
Altuve at $49. You got to keep him, right?
Yeah.
All right, so when you're looking at the rest of this, he has Springer at 29, Carlos Martinez at 22, Bregman at 16, Andrus at 15, Paxton at 13. Who are must keepers in this?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see. Ooh, ooh! I already did the math. That didn't work. The first three guys equal $100. Altuve, right. Springer, and Carlos Martinez. So here's what you're going to have to do. You got to keep Altuve, but you can't keep Springer now.
Nope.
So you got to keep Bregman at 16.
Yes.
You got to keep Andrus at 15.
Do you?
Do you?
He's got so many good deals. He's got Pham for 5. He's got Shaw for 5. He's got Barrios that he's completely effed
gotta,
up the spelling.
Got it. Yeah, you got to keep
Weaver,
Shaw.
Godley, Doolittle, all at $5. Moustakas at 6. He has some good deals here.
Yeah, he does.
I think you got to keep Altuve at basically 50. Then you got to keep Pham, that's 55. Shaw, 60. Barrios, 65. Godley, 70. And then Weaver, 75. And then you can also keep Carlos Martinez.
Cool.
Done?
Cool.
All right, done with that one. Yeah. See, it wasn't as bad as we thought.
Sure.
And I'm the guy without the calculator, by the way.
For sure.
Uh-oh, more math to Welsh. Hey, guys, I'm looking for a little advice on my keepers. And if you read my answer, if you read and answer my question on the pod/radio, I hope, I promise I will buy your 99 Fantasy Player debate book with my own money.
How long ago was this question?
So long ago.
All of you, it's so long ago, it doesn't even matter.
And when I say my own money, I mean the Amazon gift card my wife got me for Christmas.
He probably already spent somewhere else.
It is a 12-team auction points league with 31 roster spots and a $350 cap where we start two catchers. He goes 5 outfielders, 7 starters, 4 relievers. We can keep up to 5 players. Here is what he's considering. Bellinger and Ramirez are locks at $5 and $9. He's leaning toward keeping Pham at 7 and Nola at 11. With the need to start 4 relief pitchers, would you keep Iglesias over Turner? Iglesias is at 10. Turner is at 9. I think Eaton is last on this list. Thanks for answering my question. Keep up the great work you guys do. So, he can keep up. He can keep 5. So Bellinger at 5, Ramirez at 9, Pham at 7, Nola at 11. Got to keep those. So his question is between Eaton at 8, Turner at 9, Iglesias at 10.
Jesus. I leaned keeping Turner for the hitters. I feel like you can get cheap relief pitchers. If you're more worried about it and you think more kept, keep Iglesias. I don't think it's that far off. Now, it would be much better if what you were telling us was like Ozuna or or Edwin Diaz or Felipe Rivero. But at the end of the day, if it's that big of a concern, keep him. But I would lean Turner.
I'm debating. Yeah, you know what? I go Turner also because third base is kind of a wasteland this year. That's from our dude Dan in the can. Let's see. How much are we still good on time here?
Yeah, we got one more. Let's do one more. Let's not do a 4,000 one. Maybe one that was also
here's a quick one.
Month.
Let me read it. I have a trade worked out to get Brandon Morrow and Jose Martinez for my Ender Inciarte in the hopes that I can cut a few auction salary dollars. Is the platoon of Jose Martinez and Greg Bird a good strategy to have on my team, or should I throw one of the first base eligible players back? I want to say our league is 18-team keeper roto with an auction draft of a $1,000 budget. And I believe my team is going to look to win this year or next year. I've invested multiple young players for the future over the next 2 years. I'm loving being in the Army and hope spring training is treating you and the Welsh well. How's the grind on the diet going? Keep it up. New Welsh order.
Ah, good. Who is that?
Didn't leave his name.
Okay. Well, sometimes
I might have ignored it because he's new Welsh.
Well, okay. So what was the actual question? Inciarte for Jose Martinez.
He's asking, is the platoon of Jose Martinez and Greg Bird a good strategy, or should he boot one of those guys?
I mean, it's just not my strategy. Is it a good strategy? I think
I like Greg Bird.
Al Melchior and Nathan Doakin, both are big Jose Martinez guys. You love Greg Bird. I just don't like it.
Spohr is a big Jose Martinez guy, too. He's just a good value because he's super underrated.
Sure.
He's starting first baseman for the Cardinals. It's a good spot to be.
You know, it's funny you bring up Inciarte because in this next hour, we have got an Inciarte debate. We've got more debates. Maybe we'll answer a couple questions and we'll get to the debates. And I think Inciarte is kind of being undervalued here. So don't go anywhere. This is the end of hour two. One more hour coming up. We got a few more questions, player debates, fantasy baseball. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.